Live from Los Angeles, this is the Bachelor Masters. Another 5 hours Bachelor in Paradise done and ready to be podcasted about. Speaking of the podcast, I am on a different microphone today. Microphone that I usually use, I think, just doesn't sync well with the microphones that Chris and EZR use. So I'm hoping this evens things out a little bit. Makes it easier on our listeners.
I think our listeners are audiophiles, and I think they noticed right away when you started talking, even before you said you're on a different microphone. Right. I think they said something's
they picked
different.
Up on it instantly.
Absolutely. Like
that jerkwad Craig is on a different microphone. I wish his microphone was of the off variety, the didn't pick up sound variety. Well, they say in podcasting, quality is the number one reason people stop listening. And I can say from some experience trying out our competition, there are some that are just drastically in need of better technology. And I therefore unsubscribed. But some of them are very good, too. I think we're probably somewhere in the middle.
Well, we can start in the middle.
Well,
all right.
You know,
well, let's start in the middle then.
Yeah. Well, before you go on, I just wanted to say that even though it was 6 hours of prime time, it was actually 3.5
Well,
hours.
It was 3 hours Monday and then 2 hours.
No,
Tuesday,
no.
Right?
I mean, of actual content without commercials.
Right. You said 6 hours. It was actually 5 hours.
Oh, 5 hours. Sorry. You're right.
Right.
Five. But it was actually 3.5. And that's, I mean, night one was 55 minutes of commercials.
Yeah.
That's more than normal for a 3-hour night. Chris, when did you watch it the night of? Like, no, you're asleep before it even begins,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I had to see both the day following airing. And I can't deal with the ads also, so I don't watch it live for that reason.
Well, I like putting myself in compromising positions, one of which is I watch it live so I can tweet it. And then on Mondays recently, I then watch Better Call Saul that I DVR'd during Bachelor in Paradise. Mm-hmm. And then on Tuesdays, I watch it live while tweeting. And then I watch the DVR Below Deck on Bravo, which you all know I'm a big fan of. And that just ended. Although next week is the, what do they call it when they bring everyone back? The reunion. Yeah. And they get in fights and stuff like that. So it's going to end next week, but also Bachelor in Paradise ends next week.
Yeah.
I thought I detected some melancholy in your voice, Craig. And now I know it's because you're mourning Below Deck.
Well, it'll be nice to have our Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, if you count our podcasting, back in play for the next few months of our lives.
Yeah. As like summer programming ends, which wasn't a thing we used to say, you know, 15 years ago, but now like actual seasons begin, but not right. Really, because most shows are now special events or something like that.
Right.
Like I'm watching The Purge. This
right.
First night was on Tuesday night. And then I also have a million things to do on Tuesdays. So I was like, The Purge. And then I told, you know, I forgot about The Bachelor until today. And I was like, oh, yeah, The Bachelor.
You forgot about The Bachelor?
The Purge, Craig and Chris.
I'm going to edit that out here so our listeners didn't hear that. We are 100%
committed. Well, I think that's the most damning criticism you've had of this season so far, ECR, is you forgot about it.
It's also a glowing review of The Purge, but I guess we can look at it the other way, yeah.
That is a more positive way to look at it.
Well, speaking of 100% committed, I had the thought that we would make this podcast episode entirely about Annalise. What do you think?
That's crazy. That's what I think.
I think I could fill up an hour and 15 minutes with Annalise opinions and witty banter.
Well, let's go through chronologically, and then if we get stuck on Annalise for way too long, we'll just leave it there.
Now, this is chronologically from the start of the Monday episode.
Right.
I like to think I'm a pretty good judge of character, mm-hmm. and many people might disagree with that. Hopefully they're not listening. But I think I have Annalise completely pegged. I think I have her totally figured out. And I find her really fascinating. She's become my favorite character. And I think one of the reasons I like her, she can't make this up. Whether it's produced or overproduced or manipulated, there is a significant amount of real in what she is giving us on TV. And it's great. I'll also throw in just quickly that I think Kevin has slowly become another favorite of mine. Ugh. I really like him a lot. And
he called himself the mayor of paradise. He said that. That's, I don't know. What more macho bro behavior can we get than that?
I don't
that?
Know. He's not that macho bro. He's actually kind of cuddly and endearing and cute. I mean, I don't really like Ostrich much.
He looks like Tom Brady got punched in the face.
Well, even one of the things I like about him, I don't want to like get into judging looks based on looks only, but that's, you know, I like the number system, right? Through 10 and yeah. occasional zero. Zero being held for one person only, right?
Yeah, we all know who it is.
Let's just, for the sake of argument, without getting into an argument, let's put Kevin at 5, okay? Mm-hmm. What I like about Kevin is he's playing the Joey Tribbiani rule of the number scheme perfectly. So you're supposed to date people that are either too higher than you or too below you, right? That's what Joey Tribbiani said in the show Joey. And if you put Ostrich at, say, 7, which could be a bit of a stretch, that works perfectly, right? They're not going out of their number range.
Okay, you're talking about the lady, Asterd, as I call her. But
Asteroid. Yeah, she's maybe a 7. So they're both within their number scheme. And I think that it's seeing them within their same number range is comforting.
But Craig, do you also like that he's punching at the upper limit within his range?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's good. I feel like he's striving for the best, right? He's going for the best. And so she's a 7. That's debatable. Maybe you want to go higher or lower. Yeah, he's going at the high end of his registrar. He's on like Olympic athlete trying to qualify for the finals. Good for him. She's going down a couple numbers. That's a whole nother thing. But I don't want to get into a whole asteroid story.
I don't really think she is. I think they're pretty, I mean, looks wise, they're pretty equal. Even if you were to
even
say
better.
There's a range there that, you know, there's the subjective range can be 2 numbers, let's say.
Right.
I think they're both there. plus minus.
Well, unless you're that 0, because 0, you can't multiply by 0 and get anything other than 0. So right, 0, the 0 guy is always a 0.
Right. But the good thing about a 0 is you're always punching above your weight.
Right.
Right.
Well, a 1, too. A 1 could be a 3. I mean, there's a whole thing to it. That, I like Kevin. I love Annalise. That's my opinion.
Was that a Freudian slip, Craig? You love Astrid?
No, I think I was going to say Ashley I, but that would have been even worse.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Astrid is so definitely like a... She's like a factory version of Ashley I. Like, she feels a little more plain and, like, basic than...
Ooh, Asteroid is?
Astrid, right. Yeah, seems like a factory version of Ashley I. Just very, like, bare bones, what you get. If Astrid wasn't on TV and I met her once or twice, I probably wouldn't be able to pick her out of a crowd.
Right.
She's very... I mean, this is not a looks thing. This is her, too.
Right.
Her.
Well, to Kevin's credit, you probably would pick him out of a crowd, but
yeah.
Not because he's a 10.
No, right. So we'll stop at Annalise, but we can just breeze on through the first couple things that happen in the beginning.
Okay. So we're not going to scratch my itch and make this the Annalise show. We'll make it a show with Annalise.
With a lot of Annalise. Don't worry.
Okay.
It's sort of like Batch Masters feat Annalise, like on the album. That's what the track is.
Featuring Annalise. Ooh, I love that. That could be a good title for the podcast when I post it. Well, then people are going to think that she's on the podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we've got to be careful.
You have to make it an album cover.
We don't want our first lawsuit.
Or do we? Is that the thing that we want to get us on the map?
Yeah. Bachelor Master. Yeah. Fledgling podcast of idiots sued for false advertising.
Leo rushes to their defense.
Yeah. Leo, lone supporter.
Hey.
Hey, speaking of Leo, do we have any good Instagram updates from the Instagram front?
Let's see. I guess Garrett, the electrician, who's also sent home on night one, which was way more interesting to me than Joe the grocer, became a boxing trainer. And I kind of sad-faced it, saying, what happened to being an electrician? He's like, I'm still doing it. This is an on the side thing. And then I was like, yay, working class people, people with real jobs on this show. Good for
this
you.
Is where we're at in the world. We get off on people replying to one of our comments.
Well, we've been getting a lot of, we are firmly in the majority for once in Bachelor Nature. I don't know if we're in the majority. And like we said, we don't want to make this a Colton show. But I think we're not happy with Colton being the Bachelor. And we're not, I'm not going to, you know, I was way more upset at Nick being the Bachelor. Nick was a lot less likable. But people are mad that we were saying that he's kind of red flag central. That he's,
well, there's a couple people I've noticed that are on both Twitter and Insta that follow us and communicate with us, and we communicate back. Of course, I do the Twitter and easier. You do the Insta, so it's a little separate. But I've noticed that they interact with us both with things they agree with and things they disagree with and things that are funny and laugh. So I welcome that kind of banter.
Yeah. I'm interested in them being, I'm interested in why they're defending this guy, but I don't see anything to defend. He's definitely like a baby boomer's dream of a man, but not mine, right? Or not, I don't know. Yeah, anyway.
Well, so, yeah, let's get on to the show, because like, I think Colton is the least interesting thing we have to talk about today.
Well, so at the beginning, we all know Eric went on a date with Cassandra, and he's out there having the time of his life.
I got some things to say about her.
See? So you couldn't have made it the Annalise show.
Yeah, you're right.
Dang it. I think Eric is like Annalise in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he kind of psyched himself out there at the end when he left.
You know, I think that is also one of those things that he strategically did. And we get to talk about
that. Well, the speculation. So we speculated last podcast episode that Eric had slept with Angela. And that's the code they were using when they were saying, we went all in. That was code for sex.
Sure.
The speculation now is that she didn't have sex with him. And that's why he broke up with her. He thought they were going in to have sex. They didn't have sex. That's when he went on the date with Cassandra. Neither explains why he went soft or cold on Cassandra. You know. Now, I have my opinion on Cassandra of why I wouldn't want to date her.
Cassandra, she's another blank in this. I can't conjure who that is.
The cleft chin. And the cleft chin is representative of a lot of, look, I've over-caffeinated and I feel like I should say some controversial things. She looks, whether it's the makeup, because she has kicked on pancake makeup, or she's had plastic surgery, in which case I wonder why she didn't fix her cleft chin. She looks like Michael Jackson when he was later on in his wacky plastic surgery makeup days.
I mean, yes and no. I thought we were going to make fun of people's looks, Craig.
I know.
I don't know. She doesn't bother me like that. But the truth is that Cassandra has so far been a pawn in every single relationship she's been in. Only like, a catalyst for something to happen. So that's probably why you can't conjure up a memory of her, Chris, because she's so, it's not her fault. I think they just aren't giving her, a three-dimensional character. She's just been, she hasn't been able to explain herself. She hasn't been able to explain anything. She's just kind of like, I guess I'm going on a date with this guy now. I guess this guy's leaving me now. I guess this guy's taking me on a date as a second choice now. Everything's kind of been like that. So if you don't remember her, it's not her fault or your fault.
What would happen if she dipped her head in the pool? Would all that makeup come off?
Oh, jeez.
Like create like a little pool of like color around her?
Is this... Cassandra is not that bad. I don't know. I mean, she doesn't... It takes someone bothering me personally to start criticizing them in another.
Well, if she didn't put on so much makeup that I think made her look a little bit like Michael Jackson, then I don't think I'd have anything to criticize.
But I can kind of see, because she has the almond eyes. That's maybe where you're getting that.
Oh, the Michael Jackson thing. Well, yeah, it's also like her lips are not a natural color. And yeah, and then she uses this foundation that I can go on and on. But maybe that's what Eric saw.
She called Eric out. Right? Was that Cassandra or was it the other person he dated?
No one really did. That's my whole issue.
I thought somebody said, I don't think you're emotionally ready to be in a relationship. Oh, and then he went home.
You're right.
Oh, yeah. That's what I thought.
That's true. But it wasn't. But Eric had already kind of decided that on his own. But the whole thing, let's start at the beginning because I think we're getting kind of far ahead of us. Eric went on a date with Cassandra. He comes back and he tries his best to lie to Angela and say, hey, Angela. So his mindset, I have a really great date with Cassandra. I want to pursue that or whatever, right? I want to do or whatever his mindset is. And then instead of saying to Angela the truth, he tells her, I know you said you're all in, but I just don't feel it. So I'm going to date Cassandra. That's what he said, right?
Yeah, he got caught in a snare of not even lies, right. But he just said the wrong absolutes too many times.
And Angela does not call this out. She just nicely goes, hey, you know what? That's crazy what you're saying. Because she does kind of give him a hint because she says it to a few people. She even says it to Cassandra. She says, dang, that's some sleep that you go to sleep saying I'm all in and you wake up going, never mind, Cassandra's here. I'm going to go for her. And then so he picks Cassandra. Angela goes home without kind of making a scandal, which is good on her. You know, it's very classy of her. And then he has a freak out. This is day two, but it's not really a freak out.
It was sort of like he just ran out of energy. The battery ran out.
Here's my thesis that I know I've brought up to you guys so many times with Eric, and this is why I ultimately don't like him from Rachel's season. Something is definitely wrong with him that traumatized him so long ago from his parents not caring about him. Remember, he's the one who said his mom wouldn't hug him. So everything he's doing is just a projection. And to get a pass from Bachelor Nation, he cried. Because if you get a cry, you pass, right? Notes to Leo.
Right. None of this, and this is no criticism of what you're saying, none of this really explains what he did at the end where he just sort of went limp and left. Whether his mom hugged him or not, it doesn't explain why he really liked Cassandra after the date, spent most of the day with her, and then suddenly was like, I just want to be friends. I'm out of here.
I think it does. I think he has this abandonment trauma in his head. So he abandoned someone else and it affected him. And he feels guilty. I think it's a trauma flashback.
Here's Annalise episode introduction number one. My favorite thing that Annalise did was when her dude, Camille.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When Camille came back from his date with the Armenian woman, she goes, all right, let's go have sex. That was the most awesome way to wrap that up.
If there's anything that shows how unhinged she is.
Yeah, I think she did it for reasons that only she truly knows. But from an outsider perspective, it's like using sex as a weapon, which is kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, but I think, I guess you have said this, Craig, that she believes in her reality. I totally think that. So I don't think she was using it as a weapon. I think we've seen her fall in love 3 times already. Yeah. So it is kind of, if it were a weapon, I would be less worried about her because I would think she's more capable of being tactical. But it is hyper emotional irrationality.
Right.
It's scary. It's really sad.
It's not the first time it's happened either. Was it a Bachelor show? It wasn't a Bachelor show. It was Siesta Key on MTV, which is another show I watch.
Well, it's Annalise. I just feel I don't know. It's hard for me to like her because it is one of those things where it crosses the line where I'm really find it disgusting how the show treats her and how all of the other people in the resort treat her. They know that something's wrong with her. And every time she's about to have an interaction with someone, they all turn around like there's this show in a really mean-spirited way. It really turns me off.
Interesting. Well, here's a little bit of nuance, Chris, if this helps you any. If this helps you any come around to this being okay, even though it's definitely not okay. A little bit better. The way Annalise is acting is the way some women act because they want to be considered pretty or feel wanted. And so they do it out of kind of when that desperation of having sex with someone just to keep them is kind of something people that are called sluts do, right?
It's a fine line.
Right. But she's not doing it for that reason. She's doing it because she honestly thinks that will get her a husband.
Yeah. So
the fact that she's
that goes back to what I said. Her reasons are her own. But from our perspective, it's X, Y, and Z. We just went over.
But it's like she's used by everyone. And the way they cut the show, it's like that's how everyone involved in the show sees it, where they'll cross cut with her saying something really possessive about Camille and how she's so certain of something, and then cross cut to him saying how disinterested he is and how his friend, you know, she's just a friend with her. And that's the part I think is really icky, where it's like they present this whole, like, we're supposed to look at her like it's funny that she's just used by every, like, you know, it just is really, and she seems really unstable too. It doesn't seem to me like, oh, this is someone like a Jordan or a Chad or even Chris, like people who might have some problems but kind of put on an act a little bit. Mm-hmm. I agree that I think it's like, I don't know that she knows what's going on, really.
Right. But you know what? It also kind of in her, a little bit in her defense. I mean, I could defend her on something else that I'm going to very soon. But she's kind of like a self-repairing machine. You know, she's not exactly true. You know, like she doesn't, like the way Shoshana broke down, I was like, whoa, what's up? But she's so afraid to have her heart broken that she just jumps from guy to guy and puts that same
she's got a reset amount of energy
on that next guy. And it's just so, I don't know, it's so exceptional. Like, who can do that?
It's like when you're at a public library computer and every time you log in to win, you know, the computer to print something, it resets. Loading user settings and loading network settings, you get a whole fresh, brand new desktop every time you log in. It's kind of like that.
Yeah. Because I think she's deluded because she's mentally ill.
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
I don't disagree. There's
someone to be mentally ill and not following certain cultural norms and being clingy is not necessarily a symptom of being mentally ill.
But it's in a combination with so many other things that I think the version of this human being that we're being presented, I don't think we're supposed to look at her as a huge, like, it's not just being clingy. There's plenty of people who are clingy and do all of these things. It's like exactly that reset, but there's like certain things that people have programmed in them usually. And everyone just throws her away too. Jordan throws her away. Kenny throws her away. Camille doesn't care about her. It just seems like I don't feel like any warmth on the part. I guess if it were this kind of funny, quirky thing and there was some warmth toward her, but it just feels so mean to her.
Right. Well, okay. This leads to Annalise interjection number two, which is one of my other favorite things. I've never had anyone do this to me. I think everyone secretly wants someone to do this to them. Camille's laying on his stomach, taking a nap, and she rolls over onto his back, starts kissing his neck.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean,
about,
if that's
Craig,
clingy, like, if clingy gets you that, then give me clingy.
Craig, we all know you actually want clingy. It's not the company. That's nothing to do with Annalise. You know what? It's funny, Chris, that you think that she's kind of, not funny, I don't think you're wrong, that you think she's kind of a pawn or worse, right? Just being completely like an old sack of garbage, like used, tossed around.
Because who's her friend? No one's her friend.
Chelsea was her friend. That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah, Chelsea was her friend.
Right. And I love the way she, I think another layer to add to the sex thing is that someone doesn't cheat on her, so she rewards them with sex.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
but
you're right. Because if you put if you just take the sex as a weapon thing on its own, that's one thing. But the fact that it has to be prefaced with her whole, I want you to go on that date. I want you to experience other dates. And then the sex as a weapon thing, that's pretty messed up.
Yeah. Well, I have, man, you know, Annalise. I think the thing that really bothers me here, before I lose it, because I'm going to lose it, not lose it like my temper, but I'm gonna lose my train of thought, is that something that really bothers me is that whenever she gets somewhere good, I mean, somewhere stable, and it's not necessarily stable because a guy could totally not be into her, i.e. Jordan, Kenny, Ari, Camille, she does this really cocky thing where all of a sudden she's totally in love and it doesn't make her sympathetic. And maybe that's what she does to the girls around her. Right.
Right.
Like people are going, are you serious? You're telling me you would say yes to him wanting to marry you after 30 hours, you know, that's not pathetic. So
She's a symbol of desperation, like abject desperation. Because I think the sex thing, I felt like she used it because she felt like she was losing him, and that was the last thing she could do to... So I think a part of her knows that she's out of control in all of these things, and it's like she's so desperate. She is always willing to be in love right away, propose marriage right away, you know, have sex right away, or if somebody cheats on her or shows interest in anyone else.
Well, following what you said earlier, that she may have a mental illness, that would qualify her to not know she's doing that despite her doing it. Like,
I may not on a conscious level, but unconsciously, she has a really consistent pattern of behavior so far, which is what makes me think it just seems more sad each time. Right. That she just resets and does the same thing again and again and again.
Right.
Can we talk? I mean, here's my ultimate problem with them constantly talking about the two or three bachelor couples that have ever worked in the history of the franchise. Is that saying like anything is possible and, you know, anything could happen, or bachelor in Paris, you know, you never know what you're going to get, is such false hope. It's the worst of the worst. There is nothing worse to say to someone like Annalise, whether she has some kind of horrible mental issue or not, than to tell her that it could happen.
Yeah.
Because it's not, that's not, the guy is a crazy, the Camille is one of the worst guys.
Oh, he's not that good. That's what I think, that if anyone could see him clearly, you wouldn't be interested in him. He has zero personality. He's pretty good looking, I guess, but he's not, I think, so good looking to overcome his personality. And he's just always so kind of mean and dull, both.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, well, wait, on Camille, real quick. Camille is a, don't you think that Shoshana, he's not that interested in, but Shoshana would have not pursued him, and he would have just kind of been floating. I think he got pushed towards Annalise a little bit more because Shoshana was interested in him.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I don't even think he's being, I think he's just reactionarily interested in Annalise at this point. And
what didn't he like about that? That wasn't made very clear, other than that one small chat they had on the beach.
She came on too strong at the end. Because
Craig, were you asking what he did or did not like?
What he did not like. He seems pretty adamantly not into her. I don't see, nothing jumped out at me as being, hey, I wouldn't be in her.
I think the more desperate she becomes.
Sorry, I'm just going on what happened in their date at the beach, the double date.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't get it because I think that was one of those things where it was deceptively edited to make you think like the date was going really well, I think, because they were trying to make it seem like a counterpoint to Annalise saying all of these things about how stable she was with him, and then they're cutting as though the date's going well. Because I agree, that was confusing until he got back, and I thought that was supposed to be a twist where he was like, oh, I just didn't have any chemistry with her. Really?
Yeah.
It looked like it was going pretty well.
Yeah, you're right. It's almost like the editors had to choose which conflict they were going to develop. Were they going to contrast Annalise's obsessiveness, or were they going to show them not getting along? And they kind of had to go one way or the other.
Yeah, and didn't he say, they keep they refer to Shoshana as Russian, but she's Armenian, right?
Right.
That country was part of the Soviet Union.
Right. Because he does say something at one point where he says, oh, Polish people don't like Russians. I couldn't take her home to my parents.
Whoa.
Yeah. Surprised that he said it, because they were kind of talking trash, Annalise and Camille. And he says, oh, yeah, I knew it would never work because she's Russian and I'm Polish, and that just would never work.
Maybe that's like the sole reason.
We should look into that.
She's not even Russian. Right. It's not like Armenia has to be in the Soviet Union.
It's like the French-Canadian thing all over again, where they've decided Russian witchcraft, even though she said she's Armenian.
Oh, by the way, when he was saying that, Craig, I can't believe you haven't commented yet on his possible acne or...
Oh, that. Well, he has that thing above his eye, right?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that the whole time, because it seems like it's something that would be easily removed. Like, it's not even plastic surgery. It's just you go in and snipped off.
I think it looks like he had acne and he tried to get rid of it, and it just formed a thing, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's long-term something that I can't tell.
Maybe he thinks it's like a love dot, like Cindy Crawford. Yeah. He's just grossly mistaken.
Very fashionable. Yeah, right above the eye. That would be awesome if that's what he did think. I would like, he should express that, and then he would go up 5 points in my book. Wait, but quick question. Who is the most attractive man on this show?
Evan.
Ugh.
Wait a second. He's not one of the contestants, though, is
right.
he?
No, you're right. He's taken. Although Carly is apparently scoring big points on social media because she came across well. Her eyebrows were no longer horribly cut wrong.
Can I tell you guys who Carly is?
Yeah, yes. We know you hate Carly.
But let me tell you why, because this is not something that Bachelor Nation picked up on even when it was happening. And it really upset me when it happened. So she was on the murder guy's season, Chris Soules. Is that the right name?
Yeah.
Craig, your favorite.
Yeah.
He was on, I'm pretty positive he was on her season. But basically, she was one of these people that got everyone against somebody, and they didn't deserve it. But because the Bachelor editors kind of didn't know how to play it up, they made the person that she got everyone against to look like the bad guy, the bad person, the bad woman. Right. Then towards the last two episodes, they kind of gave up that storyline and just showed uncut them fighting. And she was definitely the mean one. Right. She was rude and off. And I think it was honestly. Now, here's an example of motivations, Chris, since we're talking about motivations when it comes to Annalise. She was doing it out of jealousy. She was the least, in her eyes, the least attractive woman there. So she was just trying to tear down every girl that was like glamour girl, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was horrible. And it was horrible to watch because it's like, don't expose yourself to these kinds of situations if you're not 100% have great self-esteem. Then she went on Bachelor in Paradise and she had one of these long relationships, like first night.
On the last episode by a guy doing the right thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly, by a guy doing the right thing. And she totally deserved it. She was annoying and frustrating and planning babies on the second night. Then Evan, like the leftover that no one wanted, she kept acting like she wasn't interested just because she wanted that attention from him. And it reminds me of people I know, and it really bothers me when people just date people because they like them, not because you... Okay. Hard to explain. I think Carly only liked Evan because Evan liked her.
Right.
So here we go.
She doesn't have genuine feelings for him. It could be any person who showed.
Well, she might have realized at this point she was out of her number range, and then when Evan came around, she realized that he was within her number range.
The math came back.
Yeah.
The math never lies.
She computed it.
Yeah. And my go-to thinking is that you should always go for if you really want things to work out, always kind of go for an Evan and not a Kevin, because you're more likely to have it work out.
Always go with an Evan, not a Kevin?
That sounds like a meme in the making.
But I like Kevin.
Well, I'm saying because Kevin, I'm sure a lot of girls like him, right? Like Ashley, I liked him. And right. So did Bibiana, and so did someone else when they walked in. But what's that movie called? That's that mathematician, The Beautiful Mind. That's his math theory. You go for
Nash.
Yeah, thank you, Nash. You go for the ones on the side. You don't go for the 10 because.
But you don't like Evan either, do you?
We made Evan a 5, not a 10.
I
think you put Evan in the wrong spot. I think you meant to say you should go for an Evan, not a Leo.
People hate Leo.
I think Leo is an 8 on looks, though. I bumped him up.
Yeah.
I'm putting him at an 8.
Man, you know what? If we were totally unbiased, Leo's... Here's the thing, though. Bachelor Nation, women don't like guys that look like Leo.
Women generally don't like the Fabio kind of look. They like the idea of it and the book covers, but they don't like want to end up with someone like that.
Got it.
I think that's awesome looking, but whatever. Everyone's wrong except me.
Well, no, Fabio is a funny guy in real life. And he, I was watching some interview a long time ago, and the interviewer was like, what's it like? You go out and everywhere you go, women want you. And he's like, not like you'd think.
That is the best.
Leo kind of being like, yeah, but no, is how I think of people like Colton. Like a blonde football player is like 100% serial killer. Like he just screams red flags to me in so many ways. Like, right. nope. But I'm sure that's what people think of Leo, right? Just his looks. They're like, that guy's a philanderer. And, you know, it's just so stereotypical. But so is mine, I guess.
I can see that. I could see, I was thinking of Twin Peaks again. He could be Bob in Twin Peaks with his long hair. He could be climbing into your window. He's Leo? Up to a nine. Yeah,
he just went Leo to a nine. I thought Leo was already Leo from Twin Peaks.
Exactly. That's why I had to think. He just has a Twin Peaks vibe to me. I could see how that could turn.
He can play multiple characters on Twin Peaks.
He's versatile.
Yeah. Yeah, see? I don't know. Yeah, he's for sure to me, whenever I watch a very typical movie, I tend to like the friends of the bad guy. I'm like, ooh, look at that guy. But you know, the good guy is someone that looks like Colton, who to me screams serial killer, jerk, racist. Like that's what Colton looks like to me. He has a dog named Sniper. No one cares.
Right. We forgot about that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that he's a drop-dead gorgeous guy, but the best looking out of the people who remain, it's got to be Jordan.
Oh.
It finally happens.
No.
Who beats him?
Good for Jordan.
Well, okay. No, you're right. You're right. Compared to the other guys that are currently on the show, Jordan...
Although,
I don't want words to come out of my mouth.
I know. I think I'm trying to paint you into a corner. I do like New Zealand Jordan also, but he barely counts because he's been... Yeah, he lost his hair from Winter Games and he's been here for 2 seconds. But he's kind of charming.
I think Camille's better looking than Jordan. They're kind of different looks.
From just his looks, you're right, Craig. He's the competition.
Yeah.
But he didn't fix his just in my opinion, ECR.
Right.
He didn't fix that thing above his head. That's why he gets bumped down.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't like any of these guys. I mean, they're all... the thing is, it's a boring bunch because just like Leo said, sorry, guys, it's going to happen again. We need to burn Paradise to the ground and start all over because everyone has these set rules. We need to burn the entire
franchise to the
ground. Yeah. Well, that's what happens. You learn to hack it. And now everyone's kind of too self-aware. They even have like go-to things, right? Some guy goes out with your girl and you have to have a snack ready for them when they get back. Everyone always has some snack.
You're right. That's hilarious. Well, you know, when Chris Harrison is openly saying, oh, here's where Evan and Carly boned and conceived their child over here. It's lost its edge then. I like when the sex is a little... there's no edge in Paradise anymore. That's what we used to like about it.
Yeah, Chris. I agree. Mm-hmm. I really do. I'm bummed.
Although I was noticing that the beginning of the Tuesday episode, it was like the next morning and all the couples were fresh off a night of sex. It seemed like they were all glowing for a little while before the real dramas started up again. What did you think of that little off-the-script remark by Chris Harrison where he says that the baby was conceived right down there?
Well, that's what I was just trying to refer to poorly. That's what I didn't like that he said that because that's like when it's become so mainstream that it's like, we're just referring to that everyone's having sex here all the time.
It's like when your mom knows you had sex, you're just like, oh... Well, that's not fun anymore to hide.
Yeah, Chris Harrison, mom.
Keep the door open from now on.
Yeah. You guys can close the door if you want. Whoa. Has your mom ever said that to you? Well, apparently, according to mom blogs, this is the new okay thing. Like, yeah, let your kid masturbate at 4. Just put him off in the room. I've heard this.
At 4 years old?
At 4 years old. This is like, it's perfectly natural. And I've seriously seen this. And some of me is like, okay, whatever you say, Dr. Bob, you know, Dr. Google. But then my other side is like, isn't that take away a lot of the fun of those things when you're little? I mean, isn't that the 4, but when you're 12, doesn't that kind of gross?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I tend to agree with you, ECR. I don't know if it would work. If it's mom and dad are there watching you do something.
Okay.
Well, hold on. I even saw a show where the mom set up a whole room and put a Wonder Woman poster in the room and be like, there, I made you your masturbation nook. And it's for like a 12-year-old.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was.
What kind of shows are you watching?
It was a show on ABC. They ran a marathon of it. So I was like, all right.
Oh, boy.
Pam from The Office and Kurt Russell's son. No, not Kurt Russell's son. Goldie Hawn's son are married.
Have either of you seen Dogtooth?
Yes.
Of course it reminds me a little bit of Dogtooth. It's this Greek film from the guy who made The Lobster. It was still while he was making movies in Greek. And it's this family that sort of, they live in their house, maybe in a post-apocalyptic kind of world. They have to stay in their house. But it's the best movie about kind of overparenting and being having no boundaries, where the father like procures young women for his son to have sex with, and the girls like eat each other out, and it's really messed up, this really deadpan messed up kind of film. But really good, really good.
What's The Lobster thing?
Oh man, it sucked. Whatever.
You didn't like that, Chris, that one,
did,
huh?
Did you like it? Wait. I just seemed too self-aware.
What is it?
It's a movie called
Lobster.
Yeah, The Lobster, it's
a movie. It's Colin Farrell. I was forgetting. Yeah. I guess it's a world where if you don't, Chris, tell me if I'm wrong, if you don't choose a mate, you get turned into an animal.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, single people are outlawed. So if you are single for too long, you get turned into an animal. And they send all of the single people to these like forced dating camps where they have to try and find, it's like The Bachelor kind of, where they have to try and quickly find a mate or they get turned into an animal.
But, well, I think lobsters are used by the red pill people, you know, the red pill people, the guys that pro-patriarchy guys.
The kind of like Alex Jones guys.
Yeah, because like lobsters are the only other animal that demonstrate patriarchal society structure or something.
Yeah, well, I think I know what you mean.
This is just the animal this guy wants to get turned into. Not everybody gets turned into that.
So he doesn't actually get turned into a lobster.
Well, maybe not.
I don't think lobsters have a brain, so how would he even know he was turned into a lobster?
Well, the animals in this world are kind of anthropomorphized, or they kind of play that for a joke, because sometimes people... this isn't a spoiler, it happens right at the start, but there's a great shot where this woman like runs up to a cow or something and shoots it in the head, and you kind of assume that was like her husband who had cheated on her. So
it's kind of a Wes Anderson-y kind of movie is the way it felt to me, but I didn't.
I'm gonna race out and watch that one.
He has a very specific style.
You're gonna hate it, Craig.
Is it on our unofficial sponsor Hulu?
It has been. It might not be now. I don't know.
Okay.
He has a new movie that just is making the festival rounds now that I still haven't looked at the trailer for, but it's called The Favorite, I think.
Didn't he make that movie about the Night of the Deer Hunter? Or I'm getting a bunch of titles confused, but it had a name like The Unbearable Night. I don't remember.
Oh, The Killing of a Sacred Deer. Yes, yeah, that was his last movie. And that's in the same kind of style, but it's more of a horror than like a comedy, I would say.
I wanted to see that, but is that him? Because I'm sick of him already.
It is him. I think you'll hate it if you hate his other movies.
Imagine all the movies I could watch if I didn't watch Bravo.
Seriously.
Imagine all the Bravo you would miss then, though, Craig. That's the other thing.
I'd be so behind.
Yes, Crystal and Chris are in love, although I gotta say this seems totally contrived.
I was thinking the same thing, but when they went to dinner she was giving looks that were hard to fake. She did seem genuinely into Chris, which I know baffles us and everyone listening.
Yeah, just on looks alone she is definitely more than a few notches
above.
Yeah,
more than two, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And still
when
together?
You add personality in, I mean, geez, he's down in the...
He can't even beat a duck's personality, and that's why everyone calls him Duck.
I'm confused.
I like that you call him Duck, Craig. You refuse to call him Goose. So,
you know, Crystal and Chris are on their own. They're both their life story is much like Eric, much probably like Annalise, are very unhinged people. they are going to be good the way, you know, crazy people are good together. But I don't I think if anything were to interrupt that, they're not going to have a good fight. You know, Astrid and Kevin are good examples of people who had a good fight, who had a healthy, clean fight. But I don't think those two are going to last. They're going to be too volatile. Oh, like Lace and Grant, who I guess you guys weren't around for, but those two.
Oh, I remember Lace and Grant.
Right. Yeah, sure. Actually, nothing against Grant. He seemed great. Lace seems like an unhinged, crazy person. You remember Lace.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing left to say about them two.
Okay. I don't think. Yeah. No, they're super boring. They all are, but go ahead. Well, we didn't really, I know you don't want to Colton out, but we didn't really talk about how he broke up with Tia.
Yeah, so I have one. I know. I realize we will not. We will make this Diet Colton and Tia. But is this part of some other fakery? Did they really break up? Were they ever really together? What do we know from the internet and what's happened?
It looks like he's fully committed to his career. I mean, maybe the whole thing. Here's the thing: is that finally, there's some sympathy for Tia because this whole time everyone's like Tia's the mastermind. So let's give a really quick but concise timeline. Tia's on Ari's season. Colton tweets Dr. Tia heart face, heart eyes. Then after Bachelor in Paradise, so before Tia was actually on Ari's season, or maybe during Ari's season is airing, Colton flies out to meet with her. Mm-hmm. Then they get together, whatever that means in so-called virgin terms. I don't know if I believe that. and then Tia is this whole time is going to be the bachelorette, right? They're setting her up. Ari betrays Becca. So then they absolutely can't make Tia the bachelorette because they owe Becca something for those long shots. And then Colton, you know, is bummed, but he's like, whatever, I'll go on Becca's season anyway because I need to promote myself and my 501c. Then for the tax breaks, of course. Then they have to play up the Tia Colton storyline because it's coming out that they'd been on a date already. Colton has to tell Becca he's in love with her. Then Colton has to keep playing like that, even though Tia and Colton have probably been dating the whole time. Then they go on Bachelor in Paradise, and then Colton gets picked as the bachelor. Now, picked, I don't know how accurate that word is, because maybe he was just really trying to be the bachelor the whole time. Or was he just trying to win the bachelorette at first? And he thinks, oh, being the bachelor is way better. I get to promote my blah, blah, blah's way, you know, get to promote myself way more, never have to play football again. So here we are, where who knows who the master, I mean, it could have, who's the mastermind? The three of
it
them?
It was Ari.
Yeah.
It was him.
This
all
is
along.
A pretty thick plot. Yeah. I mean, Ari could be the puppeteer behind all of this.
What if it was Ari's mother? You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah. She had a moment of clarity off her Quaaludes and decided to write this all down. In some sense, I feel kind of bad for Tia because, you know, she got scooped by Becca to be the bachelorette, and now her quote-unquote ex-boyfriend is the bachelor. I mean, that's it for her, right? Although I'm sure she'll make an appearance on The Bachelor.
People are vying for her to be the bachelorette.
After that, yeah. All right.
So, I don't know. I don't believe either of it, but...
Well, going into Colton, I sound like a broken record. I've literally said this every podcast we've ever done, which is I don't like how they pick runners up to be the next bachelor, bachelorette. I mean, it works in some cases, but I want to go back to when they picked actual bachelor and bachelorettes from the world, and then they came in and had whatever. I've said it a million times. But Colton seems particularly awful. And again, we've said this a million times. It keeps getting worse and worse. I mean, Ari we thought was the worst pick they could make, and that... And now we thought Becca was the worst pick they could make. And now they pick Colton. I mean, I caught the Good Morning America when they revealed him. We posted on social media and made some fun of it. But he literally had nothing to say. Speaking of football, who's the guy? He played for the New York Giants. He's on.
Clay?
Michael Strahan.
Oh, yeah. I like that guy.
Poor Michael. Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. Poor Michael Strahan, though, had to interview him. And it was just real brutal. Like, Michael Strahan's, he's asking him all these upbeat, chipper questions, and Colton's like, that's all he said. What are they expecting from this upcoming Bachelor season? I guess what they're expecting is yet another gaggle of women beating each other up and, you know, having all this drama because they're vying for a guy who doesn't really say much, a la Ari. And there was lots of girl drama on Ari's season. You know, it's going to be another Ari and Lauren B kind of situation where he'll probably pick the most shy, quiet, boring woman of the bunch.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds right.
Okay, there's a few things that I want to say here. Would you guys choose, say you felt love at first sight with someone you saw on TV and then went and found them, like connected with them, DM'd them,
right,
flew however long he had to fly and found them. And then someone says to you, how about you get the opportunity to date 30 randos over this person you really like? I mean, I think a lot of people would take the random people because there's the spice of possibility there versus the like, oh, well, I already know T is great and I like her a lot. But you can't
judge somebody about it. I mean, life is short. Who wouldn't want to be on reality TV?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if that's the worst choice he could make. I don't know. I'm saying that I think most people would choose what he chose.
I don't think any part of me is like, oh, he shouldn't have done it. I just don't see why the show would have picked him.
Right.
But I'm totally jaded by this firm belief that they shouldn't pick runners up to be the next Bachelor or Bachelorette.
He wasn't the worst. I mean,
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. But losers to be the next Bachelor or Bachelorette. if you're not the winner, you're a loser.
Okay. But out of the three or four options there were, let's say there was Blake, Jason, and Colton.
Peter. Don't forget Peter.
When Colton broke up with Tia, he gave one of the only most common reasons to break up, but he made it all about him. He's like, I just don't feel it. I do everything for everyone else. And that's the only reason people ever break up. So
here's an idea. Elon Musk, he should be the next Bachelor.
Ugh.
There's like how many billions of CEOs in the world? Why can't one of them be the Bachelor?
I could see, I think sometime in the next 5 to 10 years, they do something like you're talking about, though, Craig. And I know you've said it before ACR also, but I think some explosion to the franchise comes because they'll want to get, especially they'll have their new streaming platform. They'll be able to have all these more millions of eyeballs concentrated in one place again. And it's like, how can we get tons of people to watch the show again? We need something big and splashy.
And you think they're going to do Disney's launching its own
platform? Yeah, Disney will have its own streaming platform for all of their branded stuff. Some of which I think would be the ABC would fall under that. And I bet that Bachelor is still a very widely viewed show, but its ratings are definitely always on the decline. And I bet at some point they're like, well, we'd rather have 15 million people watch than 5 million people. Let's get Elon Musk would be an awesome someone of that ilk if they could convince them to do it. I don't know what it would take.
Right. But I bet that money. Would
get people. Yeah, money. Exactly.
No, but I'm saying they're already millionaires. Why would they do it? You know?
Well, exactly. You'd have to figure. Right. I don't know what your pitch would be for someone like that. But yeah.
Well, just, you know, everyone likes new experiences. I mean, why not? I mean, Trump had his own reality show. And his name? The Virgin Airlines guy had a short-lived reality show.
Well, yeah. their actual fortunes are questionable. Trump's.
Well,
but
devil's in the details. But you know what I mean? I mean, there's always going to be some people that.
But that's what VH1 did, you know, and it turned into a crazy mess of like de-evolution. That's why they stopped. You know, someone killed themselves. There was people hadn't
heard. Okay, well, then someone like Juan Pablo, like a mid-level soccer player.
Right, right. That makes sense.
That makes a lot more sense. You're right.
I think, honestly, if there's any kind of reboot that you're talking about, I think Ari was the reboot in a way.
Yeah. I still think maybe a YouTube star or something where they have the quantifiable data. Yeah. And they're like, okay, they get 50 million views a video. We'll get some X amount on
the bizarre work guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, those of us who grew up without the internet our whole lives, like me, but I guess the internet came around, I was around in seventh grade, or people a little bit older than me still have a long ways to go till we die. And I think a lot of us are still kind of like committed to television in a lot of ways. So it'll be, I know what you're saying, Chris, and I think they could definitely run some kind of 24-hour Bachelor channel, you know, like they do Big Brother After Dark or whatever. But I don't know if it's as viable yet, because there's lots of shows like this, but I think they're trying to keep some kind of standard there.
Yeah, maybe. I guess if it went that way, though, I bet The Bachelor wouldn't be their flagship, that they would get some other flagship dating show, because I think at the end of the day, they would just care about the numbers, and the numbers are always coming up from the bottom, you know.
Well, imagine because if people Bachelor in Paradise were like a year-long show, they just kept rotating people in.
Right. I would think they do multiple Bachelors at a time, you know.
Well, look, should we talk about all these this baby stuff now? With Jaden Tanner and...
Oh, we also forgot to talk about Diggy babies. And Olivia.
But we forgot to talk about who?
Diggy and Olivia. Diggy, we hadn't seen him in a while. He was from Rachel's season.
We know who Diggy is.
Yeah, he was.
Right.
Yeah.
He revealed his story, the origin story of his name. In second grade, his mom used to dress him up, I think. And his second grade teacher said, "Oh, nice digs." So everyone called him Diggy after that.
Or I dig your style or something.
I dig your style. That's thank you.
Yeah. You know, it's difficult to tweet and watch a show at the same time. I've noticed like when I'm actually writing the tweet, I miss what's happening on the show.
Yeah. Pause it.
This is getting too complicated. Okay. If I pause that, that's a whole nother layer, because then I got to like unpause and fast, you know, I got to catch up. I don't want to get too far behind. You know, what really messes up the tweeting is the freaking mountain time zone, because the East Coast time zone shows 3 hours. They're over with when we start. So you're not getting that overlap, but it's the mountain time zone. They're tweeting about shit that's happening an hour ahead. You got to be real careful about that.
Yeah. Horrible for us.
That's not good.
You know, Hawaii plays it Eastern time because they're just like, whatever, we're not playing something at 9 p.m.
You wake up and watch The Bachelor?
No. They play it at 3 p.m. or whatever.
Right. Okay. So, sure. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that I think that's great because you get home, whatever, and you're tweeting. But
well, when I lived on the East Coast, it sucked because you have to football on Sunday doesn't start till one.
So no one watches football anymore, Craig. You're not allowed.
But what I did like about living on the East Coast is that I still worked with a lot of West Coast people, and I could wake up at noon and still act like I was working all day.
Oh yeah.
I like it, Craig.
Yes. Okay, babies.
Okay.
Go. I don't know. Joe doesn't like babies. Is that what we learned? He got to do his little shtick, and they got to be, I guess the words that we use that are sanctioned for Kendall and Joe are awkward but cute. That's what they showed us.
Yes, I guess. I don't know. Not really that cute. Kind of boring. And
I never liked the babies thing. Because on Love Island, they also always bring in babies every season, fake babies. Yeah. But I don't like this reality dating trope of let's bring in a baby to show like what the next step is, basically. Right. It never is as fun as I think they think it's going to be. It's always a wacky montage of them, you know, not being able to do exactly what they're supposed to do. And, isn't it cute? Yeah. And isn't it funny?
Not for us, though. We're not millennials, but you know, I'm generation Y. You might be a millennial, Chris, but we're like the generation rethinking the important things in our life, and babies come a little later. But for the baby boomers especially, they can't get enough baby.
Well, yeah, they're, you know, it's just so boring. Yeah, exactly. We're disenchanted with having kids, but I think I know a lot of people that when they meet someone, they'll say something along the lines of, how cute will our babies be? And it's like, when you really have a baby, that's really annoying when the people think that, because that should be the last thing on your list. The first thing on your list would be like, can I financially support this baby? None of these people seem stable enough in any way to support a baby, even emotionally. I don't know about financial. I mean,
it's like in biology class in freshman year in high school when you learn about the box with four cells and then you put the X and the Y and the Y and the X.
Mm.
And you're like trying to figure out whether you're going to get recessive genes or
dominant genes. Yeah, you should figure that out first before you think they're cute.
Well, it's like, hey, what's our kid going to look like? They could look like one of four ways. And
the simplistic way of of looking right. Green eyes or blue eyes? Oh, how did you get what you got? But
were either of you uncomfortable with them building up new baby furniture?
I don't that's weird.
I hope they donate it to like a
me too.
So someone in need.
Oh, in that way, I was uncomfortable because I'm like, how did they get this stuff there? Did they buy it new? Are they going to return it, or are they going to give it to somebody or just throw it away right after just for, you know, 2 seconds of ridiculous film that, yeah. And then, yeah, Kendall and Joe, they're another one. They remind me of Crystal and Chris. They're not, they don't feel real. There's no way Kendall is that happy with that guy. The guy doesn't seem like he just needs a woman in front of him. He doesn't really need
Joe.
There's no, like, yeah, be very into her, per se, right?
He's more into her, but I think you're right that he could be into anyone. Saying that you just need to put a woman in front of him, that seems about right. He's like, hey, I'm Joe. I'm a simple guy. You just need a woman. She doesn't need, but she doesn't like him, though. I agree.
Right.
So something feels a little off.
You'll appreciate this. So both of you went to Chicago recently and did not go to Joe's grocery store, something that I will always hold a resentment about.
I would have gone, but I didn't.
We tried to find it.
But yeah, I have found it. I mean, I didn't find it, but I somehow found I slid into someone's DMs who found it and was able to get the address. It's on the very southern part of Chicago, like way down south, but it's right off the Red Line elevated train, EZR, so we could get there via public transit.
I was right there at the, what was it? The Fullerton stop in Chicago. That's where I was staying.
You could have gone.
I didn't know because when I went, if you guys remember, Bachelor in Paradise hadn't started yet, and I had no idea there was this Joe fever going around Bachelor Nation.
Well, now it's like, how do we get to Chicago? Come up with some reason to go to Chicago, because nope. That's something. I mean, I know EZR, you too, and Chris maybe, but I love doing going to like random things like that.
In a road trip.
No, train trip. Yes. You can take the Amtrak all the way.
Yeah, the Amtrak. I'm sure.
It's a straight shot. Yeah.
I'm going to Scottsdale to see Ari as I had originally planned. He should be back from his like Stay Away from America tour by now, right?
Yeah, well, he's probably loving that the Tia Colton thing happened. I mean, there's been a lot of things that have happened that have taken a lot of heat off him.
He's loving the Leo thing, the Tia
thing.
Yeah,
the Leo thing, like,
He's, you know, your favorites come back on the beach. Whatever. Ari's there. So is Amanda, who cares? But whatever. Here we are.
Well, before you go to Scottsdale, we got to make sure we go to Universal Studios during the hiatus here. We have to make that happen. We'll make it a huge Bachelor Masters friends and family trip. And
I am ready. I love Haunted Halloween Nights, whatever it's called. I'm going to that.
Despite Leo crashing and burning on the sexual harassment front, I think we could give him some leeway and still try to DM him to find out his schedule at the Waterworld show, assuming he goes back to the Waterworld show.
Well, right. By the way, he's been put on leave, according to something I read, not an article either. So I don't know what's true or what's not true. This is just what someone, you know, they screenshot something he said.
Right. Well, you're best friends with him now on Insta, so why don't you DM him?
Oh.
Next time we hang out, I'm going to grab your phone. I'm going to DM him.
Yeah, okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, that's totally fair. That's the best word for it.
Speaking of Instagram, Chris, when's the next Cinema Boof coming out?
It's on hold at the moment. Indefinitely, just meaning that we don't have a return date.
Well, longtime Bachelor Masters listeners will know Cinema Boof, which is one of Chris's video series on YouTube, where they do movie reviews, but also do a reenactment segment at the beginning.
Oh. Good old Juan Agudelo, the co-host. He's still my coworker. We've both been pretty swamped recently, so it's been hard to find some extra time. And as you both know, because you do tons of work on this show, it's takes a lot of time to put these things together.
It does. And we have to think about filming our 2019 Bachelor Masters promo video.
Film it at Waterworld. Don't worry.
Oh, we could do it at Universal Studios. That'd be cool.
This is off the podcast banter.
It would upset Mark, though, because Mark really, really wants to use the green screen.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't care. He doesn't want
to. That's not my impression, but okay. We could film it on our iPhones. You know, we could just pull them out. I love that idea. That means, Chris, you and your sweetheart have to come to the Universal Studios trip.
Oh, we love Universal Studios. That sounds fun. There's that movie that was illegally filmed in Disney World, Escape from Tomorrow. We could illegally film our movie.
That's exactly where my mind went, Chris. I love that movie, by the way. And I think about it all the time. I have a pass, or I used to have a pass, and now I'm getting one again next week. I go once a week. I think about that movie all the time. Like, who's doing that? It's such a good movie. I thought it was just a gimmick, but it's a great movie.
Well, if we do it at Universal Studios, is there going to be like an implied critique of Universal Studios in the video?
So that it's a parody and therefore like we're not being illegal?
I don't think they'd care whether they send us a take down notice for using footage from within Universal Studios. I doubt that. Would we be doing a social commentary on Universal Studios? You know what
I mean? Let's stew over that for a couple weeks and see what comes up.
Right.
Looks like someone gets engaged. And also, anything to say about Shoshana being called a witch? Kind of Camille saying it in a weird Eurotrash way. And then that's it. And then
he's just anticlimactic. That was another thing that they needed for the little preview segments. And then it turned out to be nothing, I thought.
Right.
Yeah.
If she's a witch, what are all the girls that were putting all of that crystal smoke all over themselves to cleanse themselves just a couple weeks
ago? Point, Craig. They do that all that. There's witches all over the show. They use the sage to cleanse things.
Right.
I saw you tweeted that, Craig.
I did. Well, did you notice Jordan and
Robbie?
Orange Robbie's coming. Jordan is wearing a tuxedo and Jenna is wearing a wedding dress. So either they're tricking us yet again, and this is some sort of do a little bit where we dress up as we're having a wedding, or they're actually getting married.
Either way, I gotta know.
Yeah. This second half of the part two really dragged. Like, there was nothing there.
Right.
And I don't know. Let's burn it to the ground.
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, we got one more podcast left, and then, that's it. So next week, we'll go all in. Is that what they say?
We're going to go all in
next week.
Okay, well, don't change your mind tomorrow morning. Eric reference, bye. Oh.
It's not that I would change my mind, I would just stop. You wouldn't ever hear from me again.
I know.
All right.
Okay.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.